Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the Black Geeks.
It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a strong rhyme to step to. Think of how many weeks you just slept through. Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you. Thinking of this, you keep repeating your myth. The rhyme from the microphone solo with. So you stick by the radio and on the dial soon. As you hear it, pump up the volume.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of the Black Geeks Podcast. I am your ever effervescent host, Big Baba Rob, and we have a special show for you tonight. Really, really excited. We've got a special. Is it echoing? Okay, let me try to fix this here echo problem. Thank you, Private. I so appreciate you pointing that out. Hold on, and there. Echo should now be gone. Am I okay? Five-Belly Samurai, do I sound okay now?
Well, you don't sound as clear and as effervescent as you normally do, but it's all right. I understand that you have a cold.
No. Let me assure you, the technological challenges of today are brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. The thing is, everyone is those who use Blog Talk Radio know that sometimes we get it dead on, spot on right, and then sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle. But we're going to make the best of it.
We take donations. we take donations to upgrade tech. We take donations to actually get into a real studio. It's cool. If you love us, show your love by sending in a dollar or two. It won't hurt us, but it will help you.
Absolutely, and I see that I've already got a caller on the line. I'm thinking that the caller may be a guest for tonight. I will check in just a moment, but before I do, I want to first welcome everyone who's listening in tonight, and I definitely want to welcome my Black Geeks to the radio show this evening. We do have King Face on the line. What's going on, King Face?
I am awesome right now. Everything is great. I am always awesome, but everything is great right now. How y'all doing?
Doing all right. And also we have the Potbelly Samurai with us this evening. Potbelly Samurai, what's going on, my brother?
Yo, it's Brooklyn's finest. You rewind this Bad Boys Behind This as we proceed to give you another show
you
of
what you need.
Let's get it popping.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you joining us. So we're light on geeks tonight, but yo, we still bring the heavyweights in. Real quick, before I get too deep into the show, I wanted to see who's holding on the line. Let me see. We got a caller from the 917. Yes, you're on with the Black Geeks. Who is calling in tonight?
This is Kwanzaa Sagifo.
Kwanzaa, thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you calling in.
What's up, man?
Yo, man, what's going on? What's good? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Excellent. How you guys doing? Excellent. Oh, man, we the Black Geeks, we're always feeling good around this piece. We're always making it happen, man. We appreciate you calling in, and we are so looking forward toward our interview tonight and talking about Black and talking about your Kickstarter campaign that is just rocking, man. It is rocking.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get started around here, typically what we do is we like to tell folks about some of the geeky stuff that's going on around the world. So we're going to get into a little Sith. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. We can't do Sith news tonight because we don't have a Sith on site. We ain't got no Sith. But I'm going to tell you who's going to bring it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a little Big Baba news.
And all around the world. And all around the world.
It's all around the world, y'all. All around the world. I'm going to take y'all all around the world. We're going to hit you with the latest and greatest in news for around the geekdom this week. Top story of the week, and I'm only doing this because my geek brother is not here tonight. So in honor of him, the first article and the only article will be about Apple. So we've got to mention Apple this week took a very strong stand against the FBI regarding unlocking an encrypted phone of what one of the assailants in the California shooting. And basically saying, you know, number one, we're not going to unlock the phone. And number two, we're not going to create a back door. And it has sent ripples through the tech and the tech industry with everyone from Google to Steve Wozniak basically commenting, saying, you know, backing up Tim Cook. Saying, look, you know, once you guys do it, you know, you say you're only going to use it one time, but we understand how this goes. So, Apple standing firm, protecting the privacy of its users, you know, and everyone is pretty much standing behind them saying, hey, you know, we understand the security issues, but privacy does play a very important role. Also in technology.
It's a necessary thing. It's a necessary thing. I just, you know, I was watching that earlier, and the whole, you know, they tried to put the spin on it. Well, we're trying to do this because of, you know, who they're trying to go after. And it's like, I hear you. But once you play that game, you'll never stop. And I think that's the thing we all know, because then you just blur the line and you can use it anytime you want. So, I mean, I stand behind it.
I do, too, because the U.S. government isn't the Dark Knight Returns. You know?
Pretty much.
They don't have Morgan Freeman there to be their moral compass.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Although, if you gave Obama another term, he'd probably look just like Morgan Freeman after another 4 years. Oh, my goodness. In also technology news, there's a really interesting article talking about autonomous vehicles, about how if, you know, once they are really employed, they can reduce and eliminate 90% of the traffic accidents, which are typically caused by human error, and can save up to 30,000 lives per year. And this can also put an added pressure on insurance companies because they won't be paying out nearly as many claims. It was very interesting to note that once the driverless car technology is perfected, almost all the accidents that occurred happened because of human-operated vehicles around the driverless car. So, you know, as we continue to get closer and closer to the Jetsons and automated driving cars, you know, this issue is going to continue to heat up. Me personally, I just can't see letting go of the wheel myself. That's just me, but hey, you know.
I just want the Audi from iRobot.
Oh, that was a sweet ride. That was a very sweet ride. I know, that's right. Also in tech news this week, really interesting story coming out of Los Angeles, where a hospital paid $17,000 in Bitcoin to computer hackers who use malware to lock down the hospital's computer system. And basically what Hollywood Presbyterian came back and said was like, look, it's going to be cheaper for us to pay this money than it is for us to try to get somebody else to hack it and fix it and take twice as long. I don't think we've seen quite a payout like this in some time. So this was a significant happening as hackers have continued to attack soft targets and also, you know, to raise money for themselves as well. Twitter announced this week that they're rolling out their GIF library. This is, you know, after some of the more dismal news that Twitter has sent out in recent weeks or months, this has actually been a really positive thing. A lot of folks, obviously anybody that's on Twitter or spends any time on Twitter knows the great joy that GIFs bring. Or, I'm sorry, as Darky Coney always corrects me, GIFs. He always corrects me and says GIFs. I know he's smiling right now somewhere, wherever the hell he is, floating around the universe. Oh, Robinson, GIFs. Anyway, but this is an interesting move by Twitter, which has not been meeting some of its projections in terms of membership, and looking to see this GIF library is going to bring more joy to people's lives and let people share more pictures of cats doing strange and odd things. So, yeah, another fancy move by Twitter. in a huge faux pas, one thing you never do if you own a website is allow your website name to lapse. So this week we saw, if anybody's paid news attention to the last couple of days, Jeb Bush lost his website, jebbush.com, did not renew. So one of the Trump campaign's probably very astute technicians noticed this and immediately bought jebbush.com and repointed it to, of course, who else? Donald Trump. We think that's probably why he just dropped out of South Carolina. Oh, I'm sorry. Or it was because he got 3.8% of the vote. But anyway, I'm sorry, 8.3 if I said 3.8. But interestingly enough, even though this has made news, the actual official website for the Jeb Bush campaign is jeb2016.com. But at this point, it doesn't matter because he's going back home anyway. So sorry, Jeb. Nice run at it. But dang, lost your website, lost the campaign. Sucks to be you this week. Sorry. This news, Kingface, I pulled this article exclusively for you because I know this is going to bring you major joy, and no, it has nothing to do with body oil, okay? So it has been reported that after the stellar success of the Deadpool movie, get your blood packets ready, people. We're going to get an R-rated Wolverine movie. About damn time. You know, after the
for
last...
real?
Last, yeah, for real.
Hopefully this is a start of a very new relationship. Because it's about time for real.
Yeah, after the last movie of somehow him slicing and dicing his way through so many suit-clad assailants, there was very little blood spatter. Yes, you know, we can get our Tarantino on with the next one, and there shall be blood shed in the next Wolverine R-rated movie. So I think that we're all looking forward to that. I personally, I'm actually really excited. I don't really care how well this movie does. I mean, after the last one, come on, let's kill Bill this thing. Let's just have some splutting everywhere. You know, let's just roll a tanker truck of blood packets up and let's just go for broke. And last but not least, because I'm doing the news this week, we're going to talk about giant robots, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Transformers, they have set the dates for the next several releases of the Transformers movie. The next one is set to release on June 23rd, 2017. And if anybody says June 23rd, where have I heard that date before? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They're putting Transformers, the next edition, up against Wonder Woman. Oh, my. I have a feeling that they're not going to do that well that weekend, just a hunch. But they decided. It'll be interesting to see if they change the date on that. I don't know, Potbelly. They may move my Transformers to another date and let Wonder Woman have her day. I would rather they do that than to go out there and just have a really weak opening. Otherwise, they may just want a weak opening. So that, you know, they can say, hey, it was Wonder Woman. You know, what were we supposed to do? Oh, blah, blah. We'll see. But anyway, so they have it set June 23rd, 2017, and then they'll have another one June 28th, 2019. I personally, I really only saw one more movie coming out of the series. I figured they're going to do something with Omicron. I didn't think that it was going to go that far. I thought I don't know, because Optimus got to go on this. I don't know what they're going to do. I just can't do the lucky human thing again. So we'll just have to see. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. That is your Big Baba News for this week. Thank you very much. If you liked my news, please make sure you send a note to Darky Conius and tell him how awesome. Go to @DarkyConius or Twitter. Please troll him and tell what a great time you had today with Big Baba News and how wonderful the experience was. That would just really, really make my day. @DarthGeekonius, DarthGeekonius on Twitter. Let him know that it was good news today. All right, folks, it is time. Oh, man, so excited, so excited, so excited. Yo, we're about to get into this interview. I'm going to turn this over to the Potbelly Samurai. He is going to be conducting the interview with Kwanza. Kwanza, one of the creators and writers of Black. Yo, I've already made my contribution. I'm looking forward to mine. I went ahead and got locked in today. I made my donation. Yo, incredible project. I'm so looking forward to it. I can't wait to get mine in the mail this fall. But let me start. Potbelly, I'm turning it over to you, brother. Do your thing. Do your intro. Do your questions. Knock it out, man. On you.
Thank you, Rob. Finally. Like, I feel like a little kid that was stuck at the kids' table and just got an invitation to some turkey and some pumpkin pie. I appreciate that. Kwanza, man, thank you for your patience. And thank you for coming to hang out with us tonight, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Nah, it's all good, man. I see you're in New York. What part of New York are you coming from?
I'm up in Harlem right now.
Harlem World. Like, as a native New Yorker, as someone who was born in Harlem Hospital, I got to represent for you. Like, everybody clap it up for Harlem. Clap it up for Kwanza. Let's get into this, man. We when I first came across the project on Twitter, I looked at it and I kind of like leaned back in my chair a little bit and I was like, yo, whoa, like they're actually going there. Like, they're creating a comic book and really just reimagining the genre with regard to just Black people. Like, you don't really see Black people and folks from the diaspora being depicted in the way that they're being depicted in Black and what you're doing. So I just want to start out and really ask a couple of questions just to get into, you know, what started you on your path to becoming a comic book artist and a content creator? Like, what were some of your major influences as you moved to get to this point?
Well, I mean, I've always loved comics since I was like literally a baby. You know, I was, you know, reading very early on and, like, really gravitated towards comics. And, you know, when I actually saw, like, the credits on comics and realized that they were made by people and not, like, by Keebler elves, I was like, this is a job that I can do? Like, yeah, it's like, Mommy, I'm going to be a comic book writer. She's like, sure, baby. You know, whatever you want to be. And, you know, I made my first comic when I was, like, 4 years old. And you know, it's just a medium that I immediately fell in love with. So that was always kind of like the goal in mind, was to work in comics and be a creative. And so I grew up reading comic books. I've definitely gravitated towards, like, you know, when I was younger, I liked Power Pack. When I got older, I moved on to, like, New Mutants and all that stuff. But, you know, I definitely, in those teen and angsty years, kind of gravitated towards those characters that were a little bit more, like, fringe status and stuff. But it wasn't until Milestone appeared, Milestone Media, like, founded by, like, Dwayne McDuffie and Dennis Cowan, those guys, that I realized, like, oh, wait a second. There's not a lot of characters that look like me in comics, you know? And, you know, they kind of opened my eyes to the fact that, you know, we were very underrepresented in the medium, and not only as creatives, but also within the content. So I actually looked in the indicia in a comic book. I was like 17 years old, about to go off to college, and called them up and said, like, hey, I'm a writer and an artist. Like, I'd love to show you some of my stuff. And so I put a portfolio together, walked up in the office, and sat down right across from Dwayne McDuffie. And he looked through my stuff and, you know, very politely told me I was not ready.
Man, that's a hard place to be.
But, you know, he was generous enough that, you know, he sat there with me for like another full hour and basically, you know, kind of got to know me, you know, for a moment, and asked me, like, you know, what I wanted to do in industry, why I was interested in comic books, and basically told me how the industry worked. He told me how to break in. He's like, you know, you go through like internship programs here. These are the people that you need to talk to. These are some of the hurdles that you're going to face, especially, you know, if you're going down this path, because a lot of my characters were diverse at that time as well. He's like, going down this path, you know, you're going to be met with like some opposition, which is why we created this company. But that had a huge impact on me. So, you know, once I graduated college, I did get an internship at Marvel and got hired like right out of college. And that's pretty much how my career got started.
That's awesome. So what high school did you go to, and what did you major in high school, and what college did you go to, and what was your major there, and how did that help with your writing? How did that help develop you and get you like really into that first gig at Marvel?
So I went to John Jay High School over in Park Slope. That's where I was born, in Brooklyn. So I'm a townie.
But I went to college, did my freshman year at the University of Maryland, and finished my degree in English at Stony Brook. So I decided to be an English major because I loved reading, I loved books, and I loved writing. And, you know, there's not too many writing programs, you know, in a lot of, like, schools these days. But I definitely wanted to, you know, be in a position where I was at least digesting a lot of other different ideas and writing papers on them, because, of course, that's what you have to do to get your degree.
Yeah.
So I think that was very helpful in, like, really exposing me to, you know, other writers and other perspectives, you know, and a variety of stories. I think that's important for any writer, is to, like, really, you know, sort of bombard yourself with, like, a lot of different types of content and see how, you know, it affects the writing that you create.
Absolutely. And, this, you know, big shout out to John Jay, big shout out to Brooklyn, you know, my hometown. Try to get out there as much as possible. What right now would you consider to be, like, your the thing you're most proud of, like, your biggest accomplishment to date?
I would have said up until now, I was very proud of the web imprint that I launched with DC Comics when I worked there, which was Zuda. I think it was probably, since Milestone, one of the most diverse imprints or, you know, things associated with the company that they had ever had. I really did want to follow in Dwayne McDuffie's footsteps because he had impressed upon me so much that this was needed in the industry. So, you know, I really made sure that not only did Zuda have diverse content, but there was a diversity of creators there as well. You know, one thing that I learned from working in the industry is that, you know, it's very insular, and it can be something of an echo chamber where it's a lot of the same people and a lot of the same perspectives that have been, like, in the industry for a long time. And I really wanted to put content out there that spoke to a new and growing audience. And, you know, we were successful for a time, but I'd say now, my thing that I'm most proud of is Black. You know, I'm really happy to see, like, that, so that people are really resonating with the concept and the idea, and they're willing to put their own hard-earned money down, you know, to, like, get access to the book. I've been blown away by, like, how quickly we hit all of our goals, and just, like, the, you know, like, the positive, like, response to it.
Well, that's what's up. Let me ask you this, though. Given that you're one of the key people behind Zuda and its success, how does your work now differ, and are you going to introduce a web or interactive component to what you're doing with Black?
I mean, that could be a possibility. If there's one thing that I've learned during this experience, is that, you know, people want more content from Black. You know, my intention was, you know, this book, and then, you know, if I was lucky, I'd do two more. Because it's a, you know, a trilogy in my mind, but now I realize people want to, you know, read more and different stories in that universe. So I'm definitely open to doing things in other formats. You know, I'm not particularly interested in doing, like, a periodical series or anything like that that's ongoing. I don't really, you know, that's not my style. I like to do stories that are very impactful and focused. But definitely in other formats and mediums. So that's why one of our stretch goals was to do the Man Diaries, which we're going to do specifically for mobile, and do online webtoons, and it'll be distributed for free so people can kind of get some insight into, like, you know, how this phenomenon started, or, like, who's sort of working behind the scenes.
Awesome. I think Face has a question for you.
I do, man. What's up, man? This, you know what? This is great. I'm enjoying this. I am glad you're here. You're from, you know, you from around the way. You're doing your thing. I like this. So, real quick, I want to ask a quick question. All right, I don't know if you get this all the time, but you've done work for both Marvel and DC, especially as a writer. So I'm curious. No.
No, I don't.
Oh, you've never done anything?
I was an editor at both companies for, like,
okay,
years, but yeah, I don't
okay
do anything for them now.
Right, but you, all right. So, at the time that you have, what is the difference in the culture over in each of those places, each of those comic book stuff? Because I've always felt I have my personal opinions about one or the other. I'm not going to say anything to make it all biased. But what do you feel? Is there a difference in the culture over in each one of those establishments?
I would say largely. I mean, I worked at Marvel back, like, right after the bankruptcy, and as they were just starting to, like, reemerge. Like, so I was there when Joe Quesada basically became the editor-in-chief, and, like, there was a lot of great change that was going on there. And, you know, I could see that, like, you know, from having somebody like Bill Gemmis there as president, who really just challenged everything they thought about comics and made them a lot less brand precious. You know, it really forced them to grow up and become something that, like, a Disney would buy. So I think culturally they've probably, like, matured quite a bit more. They probably still have quite a few of the trappings of just the industry itself being, like, still dominated by, like, you know, that white male aesthetic. But I do think they've become a little bit more open, a little bit more receptive. And I think they're trying to challenge themselves, but perhaps, you know, still – you know, have a lot of the upper echelon being, you know, those same people. They're probably still having that cultural shift go on. But they've definitely progressed, at least, like, externally and in terms of content, far ahead of DC, who very much is still a lot like the way Marvel was back when I was there. So they're, like, 10 years behind in terms of, like, internal culture. And, I mean, both companies, you know, the real issue that I think that they have, especially when you see, like, some of their content output, is, like, just inclusion. You know, it's not about diversity and changing your characters to, like, you know, black people, or about, you know, trying to make sure that there's a person of color on a team or making a character a woman. It's about actually letting those voices exist within your company, or else, you know, you're really, like, ultimately making, like, really shallow changes. So I would say that, like, Marvel a little bit more progressive, and DC, you know, still has some growing up to do.
Oh, that's a really good point. Well, let me kind of do a little pivot here and really get into Black. Like, that's the thing that you're most proud of. That's what we're really here to talk about and try to get a better understanding of this project that, you know, I think we're all in a unanimous agreement that we're extraordinarily excited about it. And since I get paid tomorrow, I'll be making my contribution so I can get my copy as well. So as the creator and the writer, let's talk to us about the themes and the characters involved in the story. Like, kind of take us into the world of Black.
Sure. So, you know, the premise is, what if only Black people had superpowers? And the story pretty much starts from our POV character, Kareem Jenkins, who, you know, he's a victim of a mistaken identity. The cops think he and some of his friends are some people who committed a crime. And when they try to escape from them because they're scared teenagers, the cops gun them down. And fortunately for Kareem, he survives. But why he survives, he doesn't understand. And, like, he's in the back of an ambulance and suddenly he's alive. So he, you know, jumps from the van and just runs off, and the police are in pursuit. And he goes and hides in this abandoned building and meets this guy named Juncture, who's just like, look, you can, you know, take your chances out there, but I'm telling you that's not going to work out, or you can come with me and, you know, understand what's happening to you. And, you know, honestly, I think he's in a position where, like, you know, basically, you know, a hot dog could have come down the hallway and he would say, like, I'm going to go with the hot dog. You know, but, That kind of is where we jump off in the story and kind of, like, take him into this world where Juncture, you know, like, runs this sort of underground railroad that helps Blacks who have these powers basically deal with them and kind of protects them from, like, other forces that are, you know, trying to, like, deal with this whole situation.
Cool. So what kind of superpowers are you going to be exploring in Black, and, like, are you going to be drawing on any mythologies, like, maybe different, say, African myths, like Django, something maybe from the Yoruba culture, like how are you introducing any of those kind of things?
Not in particular. I mean, at its core, Black is sci-fi action adventure, and I'm a sci-fi junkie. So, you know, when people ask me about it, it's like, oh, it's a superhero story. I'm like, yeah, I guess if you want to classify it that way, if that works for you, that's cool. But it's really science fiction for me, and really getting into the conflict that's, you know, going on between all of the characters who are dealing with this phenomenon, and then, you know, like, delving into, like, the sort of science behind it and, like, you know, what's really driving it. So not a lot of mysticism at all. I don't draw on any of those elements.
Cool. Well,
every writer has their personal stamp that they put on things. Kind of like I was just reading a book, The Aeronaut's Windlass is a new series, fantasy by Jim Butcher. And the story talks about how, you know, in the library, one of the characters walks in and she says, "I feel souls," because, you know, every writer leaves a piece of himself in the book that they create. When you put them all together, you have this etherical energy connected to it. So, and I put that out there as an example to ask, you know, like, how much of yourself, personal experiences and things of that nature did you put into Black, or is it really, you know, just really a mental exercise? It's an idea that grew and took form.
I think, you know, there's a lot of different ideas that I explore there that are sort of the same ideas that I think a lot of people explore in their own mind as they're like coming towards like their own perspective on any given situation. So the characters sort of represent like me exploring like different personalities and paths that people who are dealing with a situation like this might have. I really wanted to expose people to a wide variety of characters who were Black so that they could, you know, see these characters not just as like, oh, this is the token Black guy on the team, or like, oh, this is like an ethnicity swap character. It's like, no, these characters have their own background, their own purpose, their own experiences that kind of drive like why they are behaving the way they do in the story. And basically I just tried to get into each of their heads and like create these backstories for them that are going to impact like why they make the decisions they do. Like, I'm very much into like having, you know, characters who like really aren't just two dimensional. Like there's a reason why they do the things they do. And some of them are good and some of them are bad, you know? And that's also just perspective. Like, something that they don't think is bad might be bad to someone else, but they're making that decision because of their own like hang-ups or something that happened to them.
Got you. So what would you like the average reader to get out of this project? Like, what do you want them to take away from it? And like, how are you trying to influence the industry as well as other artists with your work?
I think I'm hoping that I'm telling a much more complex, you know, sort of science fiction story. You know, again, like people thinking of it in terms of superheroes, I wanted to go someplace a little bit more grounded, but also just as fantastic, and tell a story that's really about like, you know, human motivation and why we do the things that we do. A lot of the times we think, you know, things in life are just like black and white, and they're not. They're like really often driven by like a whole nother set of like reasoning and motivations between individuals that you may not be aware of, but in reality, they're just like ideals that are coming into conflict. You know, on the surface, that's what they look like. But I really want to dive into, you know, why these things happen and how these people deal with them.
Cool. Let me ask you this. Like, you made a decision to go with Kickstarter to get your funding. And right now, you started out with a goal of, originally this shy of $30,000. You're currently over $72,000. That includes at least two backers who have pledged over $500. So with that, like, what made you go to Kickstarter, and like, what's your reaction right now to the success that you're having right now with getting this project funded?
Well, my reaction has been like, I'm still in awe. You know, I really thought that we'd be doing a hard sell throughout the entire month. And the fact that people have just responded to this like so positively and like really gotten behind the ideas, just been, I feel very, very, very humbled by it. I went to Kickstarter as a platform because my entire career in comics has always been digital. I've always tried to be, you know, a little bit on the forefront of like what was going on in terms of like content and publishing and just storytelling. And, you know, now more than ever, there's just platforms and means that empower people to be able to like really find an audience and find a community and build something where they don't have to go through like the traditional system and like get permission in order to tell their story. So, you know, this wasn't about me going to, you know, like a publisher and trying to pitch Black, where I, you know, felt pretty confident they wouldn't necessarily be receptive to it for any number of reasons. Some of it just might be economic constraints, and some of it might just be that the story doesn't resonate with them, or they don't think that it's something that, you know, would sell. But being able to go to Kickstarter, I could just validate that, Yeah, it's like if we hadn't made our goal, then I would have known like, oh, this isn't a good idea. Nobody wants to read this.
No, I honestly think that the geek community in general and the amount of diversity that actually exists and reflects the response is change giving the way comics have changed. I wanted to get your thoughts on Marvel's president's financial support for such a divisive presidential candidate like Donald Trump, given everything that that Marvel has been doing as far as being ahead of the curve. You have the introduction of new characters like Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, and others, and this huge push for diversity, and then you have the president's support for, you know, such a divisive figure. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think those things are completely separate. You know, my I've had no interaction with Ike. I only know him as, like, you know, sort of like a mythical figure that was feared within the offices. But, you know, the choices that he makes as a person are his. They don't necessarily represent the company. And I find it odd that people try to associate those two things. I mean, as an individual, he's allowed to support whoever he wants to, and that has nothing to do with, like, you know, the ethos of the company. He doesn't really direct that. He's a big time CEO business guy. You know, I'm sure he's more concerned about the dollars and the cents.
Understood. So right now, you know, this being the Black Geeks, this being a geek based show, we have to know, you know, with the success of Deadpool, we all loved it, and like this, the huge slate of comic book movies that we're in store for this year. What did you think of Deadpool? What are you looking forward to in the theaters this year? And what comics, TV shows, and movies are you like watching like right now?
I have not seen Deadpool yet. This Kickstarter has been pretty much occupying all of my time. So I haven't seen it yet, but I'm super excited that, like, you know, Fox kind of, you know, just threw caution to the wind and really embraced the character, you know, especially considering their previous iteration of him was just, like, so far off the mark. Like, seeing him and then seeing, like, you know, like, X-Men characters appearing in the film, a lot more true to, you know, the source material. I think, you know, what Marvel Studios has really shown people is that, like, you can tell these stories in this format and people will respond to it. You don't have to, like, be fearful of it, you know? The stuff that I'm looking forward to, I guess if you're, like, a superhero movie, I'm probably, like, very much looking forward to, like, Black Panther. Like, that's something I want to, like, see in the theaters and see how they approach that character. Especially with Ryan Coogler directing it, you know, after seeing some of his other films, like, wow, I'd like to see how this guy, like, approaches a superhero film. That'll be really interesting, especially with something like, you know, Black Panther, where it's like, you know, as African-Americans, like, this is an African character. Like, there's a different culture that's associated with it, with the Black Panther. That's fictional, but it's still different. You know, it's not the same thing. So I think that those are the things I'm looking forward to in the short.
If I could ask a kind of a branch off question to that, you know, when we look around, I mean, this is going to be such an amazing year for comic book geeks, you know, for animation geeks, you know, for folks who've been, you know, we've got so many amazing movies coming this year, but I wanted it's but when I realize when I look at them. These movies aren't just for children. I mean, these aren't really adult movies. And then when we look at the context of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, you know, when you look at this, do you see the shift, but also where do you think that comic books movies are going, where they're taking basically our childhood and where they're remastering and they're putting on the screen because now we have money because we have jobs and we can afford $20 at IMAX and we can afford to go see movies twice in 1 week. Do you see, how do you see as a creator, as a, you know, who, as a writer, how do you see this transition from almost from youth to adult. We're taking content from our youth and putting it, you know, out there for adults that are now the major consumers of basically comic content.
You know, I think it's been that way for a while, and you know, the core market has always been like 18 to 35, you know, year old males. So I don't think it was a far stretch, like, to bring these characters to film and really be able to, like, tell more mature stories with them. I do think that, you know, in doing this will eventually, like, exhaust people on that, and that we'll start to see things branch out more. And I think Marvel's also ahead of the curve on that one, too, like, with putting out something like Guardians of the Galaxy, which was definitely more, like, sci-fi than it was, like, superhero. I think what we're going to see more of, and what I hope to see more of, and part of the reason, like, why I thought it was a good time to, like, release Black is more diversity, not only of, like, characters, but also of content and types of comic books and films that, like, come out of comic books, you know, being created. So, you know, more stuff like Kingsman, like, coming out. I think that's what I see happening, and I see I see superheroes. I was going to say the word finally. You know, I'm going to stick with it. I see superheroes finally becoming a genre within the industry as opposed to the dominant, like, form of storytelling.
Yeah. Do you feel, when we're talking about storytelling, do you feel that with this digital age, with, you know, outlets like Comixology and, you know, really the huge rise of e-readers as well, do you think that we're in an era where newer content creators that don't have to prescribe necessarily to the Marvels and to the DCs anymore, do you feel that this is an era that's primed for raw new creations that aren't tied to major labels?
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, aside from, like, some of the things that come with, like, the infrastructure that these publishers already have in a publishing system, it really is kind of like an open market now for people to be able to just go and produce stuff themselves. And it's actually been that way, you know, pretty much since the internet came into existence, but definitely with each passing year, like, it's easier and easier for people to just basically produce stuff themselves. And I think it's going to be tougher, you know, in the coming years for these publishers to, like, get their hands on that talent, because they're going to be able to, like, go out there and make this stuff themselves and hopefully, like, make, you know, a decent living off of it.
Is there a marketplace for new talent and folks who aren't under major publishers? Can you think of any places, like, if someone says, hey, you know, I really want to see some new content, I'm tired of seeing the same old, same old. Are there any places out there that aren't mainstream where people should be looking for new creations, like YouTube, or, you know, where should people be looking for new content creators?
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is a great example of a platform where, like, people, you know, can pretty much put stuff up and, like, you know, create their own audience, essentially, if they're dedicated to, you know, producing content regularly. I do think that, you know, it's pretty much, like, open. If you know how to type in, you know, search terms into Google, you can find whatever it is that you want. I mean, there's great web comics out there. There's great mobile comics out there. There's great print comics out there. I mean, Image, you know, is, like, really been having, you know, sort of a renaissance in terms of, you know, bringing a whole kind of new slew of content to the mainstream. I mean, they're putting out great stuff like Southern Cross and Saga and, of course, Walking Dead. And I think that, you know, people are being exposed to more of that and they're hungry for it. Because, you know, for so many years, it's just been superheroes. It's been the same thing. And the same thing with media, like, on TV and film. It's been the same thing for a long time. And I think that's why superhero movies also have been, like, you know, such a boom in film. Because, you know, up until now, you just haven't had that.
Right, absolutely.
We've got a question from the chat room, and this is from Geek Soul Brother. And he wanted to know, do you think, or have you heard that Black will reach non-comic collecting audience? Like, basically, do you think there's going to be some crossover with the Black community in general, folks that are not necessarily into comics, you know, kind of getting into Black and, I guess, taking it in as literature and not just treating it as a comic?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, that's why my, you know, original intent is that it is a, you know, graphic novel. you know, we're releasing in empirical in periodical format as well, simply because, you know, I don't want to just force people to read it in one format over another just because that's my preference. But I definitely think of Black as a book and something that I'd like to see in bookstores, you know, from now until whenever. That's a format that I love. It's a format that I think will reach, like, a wider and more diverse audience. Do I think that it'll bring in people who aren't normal comic readers? Yeah, I would guess so, because my intent isn't to, you know, create a comic book series. Like, I'm not trying to bring people into, like, you know, a world where there's going to be, like, issue 347 and Kareem's fighting the same, like, guy from, like, you know, 20 issues ago for the 15th time. Like, that kind of storytelling isn't really impactful to me. I want these characters to grow and mature and for people to, like, really go along with them on their journey. Like, I think that represents the best literature that we all remember and the best TV experiences, you know? Like, could you imagine if, like, Fox and Mulder, like, were the same every season, just didn't grow? You know, like you watched that show because you were waiting for, like, years for her to finally see a freaking alien.
That's so, so true. That Kwanzaa, I want to, on behalf of the entire team and folks in our chat room, to, like, really thank you for your generosity and spending this much time with us to talk about Black. We're all super excited about the success of this project. And I know I speak for everyone when I say this. We want you to have as much success as possible, and we want you to continue to open doors and pave the road for more artists like yourself to produce this groundbreaking and diverse content. Geek Soul Brother just noted in the chat that he's predicting that Black will make the New York Times bestsellers list. I will second that notion. I'm raising a glass to Black topping the New York Times bestsellers list.
That would be pretty amazing. I think I'd have to, like, just go away and be by myself for a week.
Hey, just promise us that, you know, when you get to that milestone, you'll come back on the show and share some of that excitement with us.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, awesome, man. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to share with the audience, with folks in the chat, with the rest of the team before we tip our hats for the evening?
No, I mean, aside from, like, you know, if you're listening and you're interested in checking out Black and looking at our Kickstarter, the URL is kck.st/black. Give it a look, and if it's of interest to you, you know, definitely pledge. We've got some, like, great rewards on there for you.
Awesome. I will say this. Since you're in the city on March 19th at Amalgam Comics in Philly, we're going to be doing a Black Podcasters Meetup. Amalgam Comics is the first African-American female-owned comic book shop and cafe on the East Coast, and we're going to be there helping to support the business and kind of get it off to the right start. We already have about 100 podcasters that are committed to being there that day. So if you want to come and hang out and meet some of the rest of the Blur community, definitely come down and spend some time with us.
That's awesome. That's a great excuse for me to come down and visit that store. And I love Philly, too. So yeah. I'll see if I can make it happen.
Cool. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I'll make sure to send you that. Just one technical correction. I just want to be right. We've got about almost 10 podcasts signed up. But in terms of the entire Blur community, yeah, we're over 120 signed up, total just attendees. So we're bringing out podcasters. We want, you know, it's podcasters and content creators. So I talked to a couple of bloggers and some bloggers. They're planning on coming down too. So it'll be really great for people to meet. You know, if you come down, they even get to, you know, shake your hand and thank you for all that you've done. and say, hey, I want to make sure I reserve mine as well. And how many days left on the Kickstarter campaign? 7 days? Is it 7 days or 8 days?
I think eight, but I mean it's late now, so yeah, seven days to go.
All right, so it's not too late, people. It's not too late. You need to go. You can type in Kickstarter and Black in Google. It comes up. You can also follow Kwanzaa on Twitter. Reserve your copy. Jump in there. There's still, if you want to be one of the high rollers and get that $500 package, I think there are like three of those left. So, hey, make sure you do the darn thing. Support the brother, man. Support a blur. Make sure you help out. It's going to be some great content. Kwanzaa, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had a great time.
All right, appreciate it. All right, folks, that is our show for today. This has been a great show. Really appreciate your time. Thanks to everybody who showed up in the chat room. It's been great seeing you guys. Great reading all your great comments. Sorry about the Unicron-Omicron mix-up earlier. Look, I'm a geek over 40. Leave me alone, okay? Leave me alone. We'll be back next week with another. Oh, yeah, Jonathan, you caught that. Thank you. Thank you, J-Money. That's our show for this evening. Make sure you go to theblackgeeks.com. Check out our latest news, reviews, and commentary. Also, we have links here, a link to this show and many, many more. You know we're all over the place at Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, and we're on iTunes, so make sure you check us out. We'll be back again next week. I think next week we're going to have a Dark Phoenix, Dark Iconia showdown over Rick Shion. So make sure you tune in. It's going to be interesting, people. We will see you next week.